Matthew chapter number 8. We'll begin reading verse 14. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good singing. We thank you for the good testimonies. Thank you for the good sweet spirit in the house of God. God, thank you for being so good to us. Amen. Thank you for this season that we celebrate. And Lord, we're thankful that the naysayers and the critics and the agnostics and the atheists and all that crowd, at least this time of year, they have to recognize the fact that you came. Lord, they may not want to deal with it, but they still got to put up with it. And God, I pray during this year that they would see more than the fact you came. They'd see why you came, and many of them would come to you and trust you as Lord and Savior. Now, Father, I pray you'd bless now this service to the praise of thy glory. Help us, Lord, sit down amongst us, encourage your people. Lord, I know that many of them have been sick, and many of them have had to face adversity, and many of them have got pressure and stress in their life. And Lord, there's a lot going on this time of year. So Lord, while we find ourselves in the house of God tonight, I pray that they'd be able to get their mind off all that stuff, and they'd get some help and some encouragement, and they'd be strengthened in the inner man. And Lord, they'd be able to face another day and let people know that Jesus is still on the throne. Now, Father, have your will and way amongst us. Bless as only you can. Use this unworthy vessel, and God will thank you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. We find in this great chapter, Matthew chapter number 8, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot happens, but I find that in this chapter he heals several different classes of people. If we had time, we'd look at the first part of the chapter, and we find that Jesus heals a sinner. You find a leper comes to Jesus, and leprosy is always a picture of sin. And we find that this leper comes to Jesus, and the greatest place a sinner can ever find themselves at the feet of Jesus. And we find that this man gets what he needs. He gets healed of his leprosy. Jesus does a great work in his life. A little after that, we find a centurion comes to Jesus, and his servant is sick unto death, and Jesus heals his servant. Aren't you glad that you can intercede on behalf of somebody? You don't need to get the servant to Jesus. You just need to get to Jesus and call the servant's name before Jesus. Jesus didn't even have to go down the house. All he had to say was the word, and that man got healed, and we thank God for that. And then in the verses we read, we see where a saint gets healed. Look with me again at verse number 15. Now this is Jesus comes to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, and she's not doing well. Now I know some of you may have problems with your mother-in-law, but evidently Peter loved his mother-in-law, let her live there, and Jesus loves mother-in-laws because Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. But look at verse 15. The Bible says, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." Now, I would just want to preach there out of verse 15 where it says, he touched her hand. I want to preach on his touch. And friends, what we need more than anything tonight is his touch. Hey, there's just something about the Master's hand. And when his hand is extended to you and I, one touch is all we need. Hey, a touch changes everything. I'm thankful on the third Saturday night of March 1974, he came by my way and he touched my heart. Hey, that night, I realized I was a sinner. And if I didn't reach up to that hand that was reaching down to me, I'm afraid I'd be lost tonight. But hey, that touch made all the difference. That night I got gloriously born again. My life's never been the same because he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And I'll never be the same because of the touch of Jesus.
Now look at this verse 15. Let me just look at some things here about his touch. Just one touch from Jesus. Notice the poison is gone. Look again at verse 15. Said he touched her hand and the fever left her. Can I tell you tonight, when I was lost, I didn't understand it all. I was only 10 years old. But I had a poison in me, a poison called sin. And that sin was going to drag me off to hell. I was bound by sin. I was chained by sin. Sin on me. But his touch broke the bonds of sin. And the sin was gone. Hey, my sin's been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been sealed unto the day of redemption. When God looks at me, he doesn't see that sin anymore. Praise be to God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. One touch of the Master, and the poison's gone. Hallelujah. His touch, just one touch. I'm glad I didn't have to keep getting touched. There's a crowd all the time trying to pray through and get touched so they can get saved again. If you ever get saved, you'll never have to be saved again. Because one touch and the poison's gone. Hallelujah. Yeah, you might get out of fellowship with him, but you'll never be out of relationship with him. You say, are you saying you don't sin after you get saved? My soul doesn't. Because it's sealed. This old flesh fails God every day. That's why he gave 1 John 1:9. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a fellowship problem, not a relationship problem. One touch and the poison's gone. I want you to notice just one touch and the patient gets up. Look what happens. And he touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose. Can I say, whenever Jesus touches somebody, they never left in the same state that he found them. She was laying on a deathbed, and he touched her, and she arose. I was dead in trespasses and sins, but he touched me, and I got up. I was raised in newness of life. I was no longer the same. And if he ever touched you, you aren't what you used to be. You may not always be what you ought to be, but you're not what you used to be, because that gutter he found you in has no more place for you, because you got up because he touched you. I wasn't able to get up under my own power. My sin held me down, but his touch lifted me. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. Love lifted me. And I've been set free by the Master's touch. Just one touch and the patient gets up. I've read this Bible. I've never seen anybody ever come to Jesus and leave the same way. Even those that rejected him left dejected. They didn't leave the same. Remember the rich young ruler? He came full of pride thinking he was good enough. And he didn't accept the Lord, but he left with his tail tucked. Nobody ever comes to Jesus and leaves the same way. You remember how many times the Pharisees and the scribes would come and try and catch him in something and question him and try and find fault in him, and he'd just answer question after question. He'd dumbfound them. They'd leave mad, seeking how they could put him to death. Didn't know why. They just couldn't handle it. See, nobody ever comes to Jesus and leaves the same way. But there's been many folks come to him with terminal conditions, but just one touch and the patient gets up. Not only is the poison gone, the patient gets up, but I want you to know just one touch, and then there's the pattern of giving back. Look what happens. He touched her hand, the fever left her, she arose, and then she became a Baptist and didn't do anything else. Is that what it says? You show me chapter and verse where after you get saved, you never do nothing for Jesus. You show me chapter and verse where after you get saved, you've learned enough and you don't need to know anymore. Look what happens after he touched her. She got up and she begins to minister unto them. Immediately, she goes to work for Jesus. Why? She doesn't have any more excuses. The poison's gone. She's got up. She's got full strength. Can you imagine? She feels better than she's ever felt before. That's better than one a day vitamins. I mean, she feels great. She's saying, who needs fish oil? I've got the master's touch. And she's got up. And she says, well, there's no sense in pouting around. Jesus has changed me. And she begins to minister unto them. She begins to cook for them. She begins to serve them. She maybe washes their feet. But she ministers unto them because of what great things he's done for her. Hey, I want to tell you something. When folks come in contact with Jesus and he touches them. They just want more him. And they get to look around to do something for him. I mean, when he saved Saul on the road to Damascus, the first thing he says is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Hey, when folks come into right relationship with Jesus, they want to hang out with him and they want to do something for him. The madman of Gadara, he said, I want to go with you. He said, don't go back and tell everybody what God done for you. The next time Jesus comes to the Gadarenes, the whole town is wanting to hear about Jesus. Hey, those that trust in Jesus get touched by the Master. They want to give back unto him. I've never known anybody that's ever been touched by Jesus that they didn't want to give back to Jesus. I've known folks didn't have anything, but they'll give you what they got. I've known folks didn't have two nickels rubbed together, but oh, they'd give folks things out of their gardens. They'll give them clothes out of their closets. They'll make them a pie or something. They just want to give, The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave to man. But I'm here to tell you, when you become a partaker of God and he takes up his abode in you, you'll take on his nature and you'll want to give back to him because of what great things he's done for you. You show me somebody tells me they're saved, they never give God a tithe, they never give God an offering, they never give God any service, they never give God any time of any day. I'll show you somebody doesn't know God. But you show me somebody that the Master's touched, I'll show you somebody wants to do something for somebody else. So we see his touch, the poison's gone, the patient gets up. Then there's the pattern of giving back. But not only his touch, I want you to notice his word. Look in verse 16. The Bible says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits, here it is, with his word, and healed all that were sick. We saw in verse 15 his touch. In verse 16, we find his word. Notice some things about his word. Can I say, first of all, his word conquers darkness. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, when the evening was come, it's evening time, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. I want to tell you something. Not only was it dark because it was evening time, but they're bringing out many that are possessed with devils. There's some darkness, spiritual darkness going on. Listen, in our day and age, there's a lot of spiritual darkness going on. What's the remedy? His word makes all the difference, because at the entrance of thy word giveth light unto all that are in the house. You know what dispels darkness? Light. And the word of God is the light of truth that conquers darkness, my dear friends. No matter how much in despair somebody is, finds themselves in, if you can get them to the word of God, they'll find help. They'll find light for their darkness. Not only does his word conquer the darkness, but it casts out the devils. Look what it says. Look what it says in verse 16. There was many, brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Notice he didn't have to have a special ceremony. He didn't have to call for a priest. It was real ugly with a big ugly cross. Have an exorcism. Didn't have to do any of that. Didn't have to say a bunch of mumbo jumbo. He just spoke the word. He probably said something like this, depart out of them, and the devils had to go. Huh? He who has all power is the one who can speak the word, and the devils have to flee. Huh? What a blessing. Huh? He cast out the devils. He conquered the darkness. But notice also his word cures all diseases. Look what it says. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed some that were sick. Is that what it said? All. Can I help you? He still, through his word, can heal all of all what they really need. God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Can I say he cures all diseases through his word? Listen, the greatest disease is the disease of the soul, and his word has the remedy for that. And then if he chooses, he can heal the conditions of the body. And one way or the other, he will. Because one day they'll get a new body just like his, huh? And so we see his touch, and we see his word. But also in this chapter, I find his will. His will. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. There's that touch again. Saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In verse number 3, we find all three. We find the touch. We find his word, be thou clean. And we find now his will. He says, I will. Notice his will. First of all, his will honors faith. Look in verse number 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Notice the leper comes to worship him without any promise that his leprosy is going to be cleansed. If we just come to worship him regardless of what he does for us, business pick up. Because the will of God honors faith. And when we come to him by faith, without faith it's impossible to please him. But through faith we can pull down strongholds. Through faith we can cast mountains into the sea. His will honors faith. You know why the will of God never touches some people? They don't have faith. His will honors faith. Can I say something else about his will? His will heals the fractured. Look again in verse number 3. It said, then Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Can I say this? His will heals the fractured. Can I say the Bible says that it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I already told you leprosy is a picture of sin. And can I say there is no cure for sin, but there is a cleansing for sin. Just like with leprosy, there is no cure for leprosy, but there is a cleansing for it. And when God touches them, he cleanses them. And even in Naaman's case, his flesh came back as a newborn babe. But listen, when you get saved, hey, he cleanses you, and you're a babe in Christ. Hallelujah, huh? But he heals the fractured. How many people are broken in this world? And what they need is the will of God, and it's God's will that they don't perish. But they come under repentance. Do you ever ponder much where you'd be if you had never gotten saved? Some of you were fractured when he found you. Can you imagine where you'd be today? That's why you better be careful throwing off on that one that's addicted to something, or that one that's homeless, or that one that's living under a bridge. But by the grace of God, there goeth I. It's only by his grace our lives aren't a messed up, broken shell that people go by and look at us in disdain. I'd much rather them look at me and not like me because I'm saved than to look at my life wrecked by sin and them look at me and look down their nose looking and say, you sorry, no good sinner. Can I say his will hastens forgiveness?
Look at verse 3. Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. And after a long bout, his leprosy was cleansed. That was it? Immediately. How long does it take for God to do a work? Immediately. When he sees in your heart a heart of forgiveness, he hastens to do the work. There are some that believe you got to just pray through until you get the second blessing. How many times in the Bible you see where somebody exercised faith and the Bible said, and immediately they were made whole? God don't need a long time to do a work. He made the entire universe in 6 days. Could have done it in 1 second if he wanted to. Our God is not a God of wood or stone where we got to show penance and we got to plead and beg and squall to get his attention. The moment our heart shows repentance and faith toward him, immediately he does the work. He hastens to forgive. He longs to forgive. He died on Calvary in order to forgive. God is not a tyrant holding back forgiveness and his grace. God is looking and seeking for the opportunity to forgive. He came to where you was so he could forgive you. And he is constantly sending out the gospel call to all that some will hear and put their faith and trust in him so he can forgive them. He hastens to forgiveness. The will of God does. He longs to forgive. He longs to send revival. He longs to save your lost loved ones. He longs to get your prodigals back into the fold. I mean, we have the picture in Luke 15 where he left the 99 to go after the one. I mean, he longs to restore. He longs to recover. He longs for those things. He's just looking for the faith. Listen, God doesn't care about the stock market. Can I help you something? The economy in heaven's wonderful. God doesn't care about potholes in the road. The streets of gold are wonderful. God doesn't care about pollutants in the water. The crystal sea is crystal clear. Are you listening? God doesn't stay up at night worrying about whether or not the news is going to say anything good about him. He doesn't worry about any of that stuff. You know what God's concerned about? The soul of men. And he's longing to do a work in people's lives. And what's he looking for? He's looking for faith. Maybe he's looking for our faith so he can go to where they are and touch their heart. But the will of God hastens to forgive. The will of God hastens to do a work. The will of God hastens to glorify his namesake by changing people's lives. We were created to bring glory to God. And any time God can do a work that we glorify him, it's all about his business. He's not worried about the economy. He's worried about the souls of men. So what are we worried about? You know what we've got to be concerned about? His touch, his word, and his will. If we would concern ourselves about his touch in our life and the lives of others, his word in our life and in the lives of others, his will in our life and in the lives of others, you know what we'll be? Christ-like. Does he not desire for us to be more like him? In this chapter, we find his touch, his word, and his will makes all the difference. You know what will make all the difference in our family's lives? His touch, his word, and his will. How long has it been since you felt his touch? How long has it been since you heard his word? How long has it been since you've known his will? where you've sought His will. My dear friends, make that a daily, daily effort on your part, and you'll not be disappointed. Why did He heal Peter's mother-in-law? Because He loved Peter. And Peter had sold out for the cause of Christ. And He said, this is a light thing I can do for Peter. Now, I don't see where Peter ever says, hey, let's go down to the house, my mother-in-law's sick. Matter of fact, they were so busy doing the will of God, Peter might not even have known his mother-in-law was sick. We don't know how long it's been since Peter's been home. But Jesus said, you know what, Peter, I'm going to honor your faithfulness. He walked in immediately, touched his mother-in-law. And then it got noise, hey, Jesus is down there at Peter's house. And they started coming out of the woodwork, bringing the diseased and the possessed. And Jesus touched them all. You see, when we're about His business, He'll touch somebody's lives, and all of a sudden, the word gets out. Jesus is in the house. My dear friends, what better thing could be said of Emmanuel Baptist Church than that Jesus is in the house?
Amen.
You know when the noise went out? After He touched somebody. Why don't we pray He comes around and touches somebody? And then the noise goes throughout the land. Bring your halt, bring your maimed, bring your lame, bring your possessed. Jesus is in the house. Because that's who they need to see.
Amen.
Sirs, we would see Jesus. Would you come out and see tonight? When's the last time He touched you? When's the last time you told somebody He touched you? When's the last time His word spoke like thunder in your soul? When's the last time you knew His will? His touch makes all the difference. We had to long for His touch. Let's all stand. Brother Clint, come get a song of invitation tonight. Our folks are coming. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God. God, how we long for Your touch. Oh, Your touch makes all the difference, God. God, sinners need Your touch so they can be convicted and saved. God, the saints need Your touch so, Lord, they can be revived. God, I pray Your church get Your touch. God, I pray for the Word of God to thunder in our soul. I pray for the will of God to be manifested to our hearts. Now, Lord, if folks are honest tonight, there's some it's been a while since they felt Your touch. Lord, there's some it's been a while since Your voice just really thundered in their soul. And there's some that don't know the will of God for their life. So, God, I pray tonight be the night You do work around here in their lives. And then, God, I pray to be noised abroad, that folks all around would start bringing needs before Christ. Lord, we know You can meet every need. Now, Father, have Your way in this invitation. Speak to hearts. Do a work that'll far exceed our thinking. Lord, it'll get outside these walls, be noise that Jesus is in the house. Have Your will and way now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.